when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
My. It's January 25th, 2020. We're not even through the month of January, and we've already had the threat of war with Iran. Market's going crazy. We have the threat of Trump and getting impeached out of the White House. We have the trade deals that have been signed. We have Richmond rallies going on and coronavirus threatening the world's population. What in the world is going on? Welcome to Blood River Radio, folks, and you're going to hear it here, what's possibly going on, and we're going to try to shed a kernel of truth. This is not Eddie Miller. This is your host, Matthew Goodwin, and Eddie Miller's actually fallen ill. We need to keep him in our prayers, but here I am to fill in for him and to give you all the facts as I see it. So, but before we do, you know our drill. You know what we do, folks. We go to the Lord. And we go to the Lord in prayer. We go to him in humility, and we come before him. So let's go, and I want to read out of the scriptures first. It says in 2 Kings, "Now when the sons of prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And they said to him, 'Behold, now there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and seek your master. It may be that the spirit of the Lord has caught him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley.'" They didn't realize that Elijah had been taken in the world, in the chariot. So he goes, he said, "You shall not send." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he says, "Send." Then they sent therefore 50 men, and for 3 days they sought him, but did not find him. And they came back to him while he was staying at Jericho. And he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Now the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful." He said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then when he went to the spring and water and threw salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it. So the water has been healed to this day, according to the word that Elisha spoke." Now, he went from up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." And he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. From there he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. So immediately after Elijah gets taken up, Elisha receives his spirit, and the people doubted and jeered and made fun of him. But God will not be mocked, and it's always for us to remember that our God is a jealous and righteous God who will not be mocked. So let's, with that in mind, let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for your mighty power and revealing it to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Scriptures. And Father, we long for the day when you return, when Jesus returns and calls his children home. Father, guide us as we live our day-to-day on this earth in the sinful, fallen world. Guide us in your truth and your wisdom and your spirit. Let us worship these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, we have a great show lined up, and we have an amazing guest, a friend of Blood River Radio, and we love to have these folks on. Jason Robb, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Things are good. Things are really good. I'm out here in the bean field, so if I get disconnected, you'll have to just forgive me and keep going, and I'll reconnect. How about that?
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds great. Well, hopefully Eddie is going to be recovering soon, and hopefully he'll get better.
Yes, we pray that. He definitely needs us to lift him up in our prayers. So, what have y'all been up to out there in Arkansas?
Well, we of course, like in most of the parts of the country, it's been very cold here, and somewhat we've had a light cool spell here, and so it's starting to warm up a little bit. We are starting to get ready for our Faith and Freedom Conference that's coming up in April. I know that's about 2.5 months away, 3 months away, but we are starting to just get prepared for that, and we. Around this time, it's usually kind of sprucing up the grounds and just kind of general maintenance of the grounds. And so we've kind of been doing that a little bit, but not too much. But here, probably another month, we'll really kind of get into it. We've also just sent out our last crusader of the Knights Party Crusader several weeks ago, and then. The Torch, which is the publication of the Christian Revival Center, we have sent that out about 2 weeks ago. So we're doing good. We're being proactive as much as possible and trying to just continue to send a great message of white Christian revival to our lost brothers and sisters. That's kind of our message here. And so we're kind of just trying to, like everyone else, just trying to stay proactive and be positive and sound an alarm to our people.
Jason, is anyone invited to the Faith and Freedom Conference?
Yes, it's open to everyone. We do require that people that do attend. It is a Christian environment, and so we always tell people if they're Christians or if they're at least people of good moral standards, then they're welcome. And so, yes, anyone can come to our Faith and Freedom Conference. It is a family event. And so we always encourage, people, bring your families, your spouses, your children, if your grandparents, bring your grandchildren. And so it is something that we want the families to come. We encourage the families. We believe that this fight against our culture and heritage is really a fight against our families. And so we need our families to attend. We need our families to be all involved. Because that's how we pass that on to the next generation. And so, yes, anyone can come, and they just need to let us know if they're planning to attend, and then we can send them more information.
Is there a cost, and how can they let you know?
We do ask if they're coming. We suggest $55 for them, and if they can't afford that. Then just whatever donation they're able to provide, that's great. Ultimately, we want people to come, and we want people to be inspired and have that renewed strength. And so that's ultimately what we want.
I can attest that it is inspiring, people. I hear the music starting up, and we are going to go to a quick break. But before we do, I'm going to tell you, you should go, and you should get inspired by this. We're going to come back to it by the end of the hour. But we've got lots of more to talk about. So come on back.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC, Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back to Blood River Radio. This is your friend Matt Goodwin, and I'm filling in. Eddie's out sick tonight. Folks, we have a great guest, Jason Robb. You heard the volley of things I talked about we're not even out of the month of January, and we've dealt with all these issues. What is going on in the world, Jason?
Well, I think from a religious standpoint and a racial standpoint, I think what we see, how we look at it anyway, we see there's this global attack against the children of God, which we understand that to be the white race, our culture and heritage. So it is an attack upon our people. And as a result of that, we see things internationally that is occurring against our people. And I think one of those things that we see is, of course, with the Trump impeachment. And a lot of people, you know, have their dislikes regarding President Trump. But I think that most people can agree that the reason there's such a hatred against President Trump is because the media and the communists have made him out to be a nationalist. And even though we know he's not a nationalist, the perception is he is a nationalist. And that's why we see such an attack upon him, which really is a representation of our white culture and heritage, what traditional America used to be, what traditional Europe used to be. And so we see this attack upon him, which really is just the underlying attack of our people in general. And so I think that's why you see so many things against Trump. You see this hysteria of global warming. I mean, it's just literally, I think, you know, I mean, everything you can think of, there's a hysteria. And I think it's ultimately we have to understand that our people have lost the mandate of being conquerors, our mandate of continue to rule the earth. From a Christian standpoint, and when we no longer take the lead in everything we do as a country, as a society, we kind of see the evils of the world rising.
And I don't care what it is, if it's economics, if it's Trump, if it's the issues of global warming, as they like to call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these things, I think, is the result of our people have lost control. And as the Bible says, you know, the strangers within will get very high, and we will get very low. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I agree completely. But I want to ask you a quick question. You said something that piqued my interest. You said what we're seeing in all these areas is a mass hysteria. And I want to ask you, who is behind fueling and trumping up the mass hysteria?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that if you're looking from a propaganda standpoint, the mass hysteria is really being perpetrated by your Jewish supremacists, your anti-Christian crowd, that is causing this mass hysteria. I think that's really what's the ones behind it all.
Yeah, and I'll add to that that they're satanic news organizations that they use to spew out all sorts of evils and hatreds against the indigenous peoples. Whatever country they own a news magazine or a news station, they love to add this hysteria into it. Wouldn't you agree with that?
And the reason they like to have this, no, the media likes to portray this mass hysteria is because more concerns there appears to be, the perception out there, more the people themselves will believe that, well, we need to rely on the government, we need to rely on the global elites to take care of us and watch over us, and that is one of the reasons they like to have this mass hysteria, is because it's all part of causing fear and concern so we can turn to them to deliver us. And that is why they like to have that mass hysteria. And we as white people need to understand that we have to rely, as Christians, we have to rely on our faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one that will deliver us. What we have to do is to stay faithful to him. And I think it's really interesting that most people, your white racialists, your Christians, conservatives, whatever name people like to call them, they don't follow this really this mass hysteria, because they don't believe that we should give up our rights or our control or our faith to the government, to the media. They understand that they have to have faith in their God, and that gives them the faith. That's why they believe that, well, government's not going to bail us out. We're going to bail ourselves out with our trust in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. You mentioned Trump and how he's a perceived nationalist. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he is a nationalist. He's just not a white nationalist. His problem is he's a Jewish nationalist. One of his best friends is Bibi Netanyahu out of Israel, and his son-in-law is Jared Kushner, and he has ties to the Jewish mafia out of New York. He's actually is a nationalist, and that's why the liberal Jews hate him, because he's standing behind the wrong Jewish group. They're attacking this particular Jewish group, and that's my philosophy on all of this. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a truth to that. I will say this is that Trump has done a lot of things that has benefited our people. We all know he's not a white nationalist, like you said. I mean, people who think that when they voted for Trump that he was going to be a white nationalist really were fooling themselves. They're naive in politics, and they don't really understand those type of issues. We know he's not a white nationalist, but he does have that perception by the media that he is a white nationalist, because he has said things and done things that have benefited our people. Statements from the standpoint of, you know, putting the wall on the border, even though we know it's not being really done per se, but the fact is, talking about putting the walls on the border, securing our country, limiting the immigration coming in, getting us out of the Pacific World Trans Union Pact, which would have allowed free immigration all throughout the world. He has made statements that has been pro Christianity. He has made statements that's been pro-self. So he has made statements that that obviously we would not see any politician make or do. And so that's why the media hates him, because when they look at Donald Trump, they perceive him as a white nationalist. And the reason I believe that has helped us, because now it has made identity politics regarding talking about white concerns, white issues, basically on a daily basis. The average man and woman out there are every day constantly talking about identity politics, talking about the white people becoming a minority in the United States. That, you know, they're talking about the destructions of our southern statues. I mean, this is being done on a daily basis, and the one main reason is because the fact that Donald Trump has done stuff and said stuff that has made us the talking point. And that's what we in the racialist movement have been trying to do for decades and decades. And Trump, being the president, a national figure, has helped get those issues, those talking points, out to the general public. And that, to me, benefits our cause.
Are those the talking points that we need, though? I want to get back to this question. Don't answer it right now, because I'm going to come back to it with another point. But did you watch Davos and what was happening there?
Say that again. I apologize.
We're going to take a quick break, actually. Tell you what, consider the conference of Davos in Switzerland, and we'll get back to that after this break. Come on back, folks, and hear some good conversation.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump's attorneys begin their defense in the impeachment trial. On the Senate floor, they accused Democrats of embarking on a political mission to overturn the 2016 election. Attorney Mike Perpera.
The Democrats' allegation that the president engaged in a quid pro quo is unfounded and contrary to the facts. The truth is simple, and it's right before our eyes. The president was at all times acting in our national interest and pursuant to his oath of office.
Attorneys also focused on the call between President Trump and Ukraine's president that prompted the impeachment investigation. Attorney Jay Sekulow insisted the president had reason to be concerned about corruption in Ukraine. White House counsel Pat Cipollone told senators to allow the public to decide whether the president should stay in office. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
In China, the coronavirus is spreading and has killed 41 people. Health officials are scrambling to keep it from further spreading. There are more than 1,400 confirmed cases around the world. In Wuhan, they're trying to build a hospital in the next 10 days with over 1,000 beds for those sickened by the virus as patients continue to pack hospitals. Today is the Chinese New Year, one of the biggest celebrations in China. People there are not able to travel to spend the holiday with their loved ones. The government has ordered all U.S. diplomats in Wuhan to leave the city amid a growing concern over the virus outbreak. The State Department has arranged a chartered flight to evacuate the diplomats from Wuhan. They're also closing the consulate there. The flight will have a trained medical professional on board to treat anyone who might be showing signs of the virus. The government also said they're not footing the bill. Those on board will be required to pay the chartered flight fee. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
And welcome back, folks. Right before the break, I mentioned Davos. Now, Jason Robb, have you followed Davos any?
Just a little bit, but not too much in depth.
So, one thing I found interesting was Davos this year, of course, it's a meeting of world leaders kind of figuring out the direction of the next 100 years of world life, basically.
Right,
and
right.
At Davos, he wasn't the keynote speaker, but they did open with Donald Trump giving a long speech that pretty much gave America a solid day there. But what was interesting was they closed the conference out with George Soros' speech. And some of the remarks Soros made, he said Trump is a con man and a narcissist. And he said that his followers, he's been able to basically get his followers to follow him anywhere, basically. He said he did not condemn the killing of Soleimani. I'm talking about Soros did not. His problem with Donald Trump killing Soleimani was that he criticized him for not having a follow-up plan, which is actually true because Trump just – he killed this man, and we really didn't have a follow-up plan. The follow-up plan was Iran sending a barrage of missiles at our bases and giving traumatic brain injury through shockwaves and rocket fire to – was it 32 or 34 of our soldiers?
Yes. Yep.
You know, and then they lied to the American people. That was his follow-up plan, folks. So I'm going to ask you, is Donald Trump a danger to our people and a danger to our society more so? Isn't it ironic that we're agreeing more with George Soros now at the end of the week than we are with Trump at the beginning of the week?
That is true on that one issue, but I still stand that we would not even be talking about so many of these issues today if it wasn't the hatred of the media against Donald Trump and the perception they have made him out to be. So to me, that's what benefits us more than anything is yes, we know Donald Trump has done things that is not for America. We know that he has done stuff that we as white nationalists is horrified with, but when the media has made that perception out about Donald Trump, you know, being a white nationalist or a nationalist, however people want to state that, I think benefits our people with that talking point because it moves people towards our direction. That to me, that's the key in everything as white nationalists is that we want to be able to talk to the average person and get our ideas out there. And to me, that's what benefits us.
But does it really? Because the talking points of Trump tends to make people feel comfortable. And is Trump's message to the people, even if it gets them talking about ethno-nationalism or being pro the American, it's really American nationalism. I don't hear anyone who's followed Trump saying white nationalism or ethno-nationalism. They say American nationalism.
Right.
Is that really the direction that we need to be going down as white nationalists?
Well,
because,
let me explain.
Let me throw out another point. The Richmond – sorry, I'm going to let you answer right after
this.
But the Richmond rally, all of these people get fired up about what the state of Virginia is doing, and Trump puts out one tweet about how Richmond or Virginia is horrible and that they're trying to confiscate our guns and all this, that one tweet from Trump, when in reality we know that Trump has actually, under his presidency, more guns have been confiscated than any other president.
Well, I will say this, that in my opinion and what we believe anyway is that if you look under the policies Barack Obama, if Hillary Clinton would have become president, it would have been obviously the same thing would have continued going on. There would not have been a hatred towards the president on a national level, which meant that there would not be these talking points that we see on a daily level. And I know there's going to be disagreements on that, but we literally have not had this much talking points about these issues that affect America specifically since Donald Trump, because every day there is just this continual onslaught of hatred by the media towards Donald Trump. To me, that's what benefits us. If Hillary Clinton would have been president, the media would have just said how great she was, and everything she would have said would have just be just like God himself would have been saying. And the average person out there would not have been talking about these issues. I don't believe it would. I mean, it didn't happen during Barack Obama. Even though he was basically turning America upside down, there was not this galvanization by the average white man or woman towards these talking points that we see with Donald Trump.
Let's ask the average man or woman. There's a guest caller who called in, Clint from Arkansas. Clint, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. How can we enlighten you today?
Well, I just I just got out of a Confederate veterans meeting. I knew the show was on, so I put it on. I'm listening to my phone, driving it home. And I cut the comments about Trump and Iran. And you want an average guy's thought? I'm going to give you an average guy's thought. He killed the Iranian general to show the world he wasn't Obama, and that you can't attack our embassy and get away with it. That those days are over, long gone. You know, and as far as him not responding to the missile attack, do you want a war with Iran? Because I don't want a war with Iran, and I don't think he does either. They were trying to bait us into a war with Iran. As far as George Soros saying Trump's followers will follow him anywhere, yeah, I will. And I think he has America's interest at heart. And he's the best president we've had in a very, very long time. Does he have some things to work on? Is he perfect? No. But I support the man. And that's all I really have to say about it.
Well, Clint, I'm going to start, and I'm going to say to that, we're getting a war with Iran anyway, the silent war that no one is talking about. Let me tell you the things that have happened. We've had over 70,000 troops over in the Middle East already. We killed the top general. You don't do that unless you're preparing for a mass invasion into a country. That's when you start targeting their intelligence and their commanders. That's when you go in right before a mass invasion. We didn't have the infrastructure to protect against rockets. And what did they just announce in the news? They're going to send anti-missile equipment over to our bases in the Middle East. Immediately following killing Soleimani, they tried to kill his second in command. They also sent 5,500 troops over there. They also seized, no one is talking about this, but they seized the Syrian oil fields. You don't seize assets like an oil field unless you're preparing to strangle your enemy. So that's my answer to that.
The Syrian oil fields was to keep it from going into the hands of ISIS. Okay? 3,500 troops, that is not preparing for a war with Iran. I do not think we're going to have a war with Iran. I do not think Trump is trying to get us in a war with Iran. I think the deep state operatives floating around will always try, because that's been part of their plan, I'll grant you that. But I'm not going to sit here and gloom and doom and condemn Trump. There's no reason to condemn Trump.
Jason, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I agree partly with him. I don't see Donald Trump trying to go into war with Iran. I know a lot of people think he is. I think for the most part, he does not want war. He wants our troops home. Is he surrounded by those that are wanting to do, you know, government changes in these different countries? But I don't think Donald Trump for the whole wants that. He doesn't want war with Iran. He's obviously flexing his muscle and telling them, look, if you mess with us, we're going to mess with you. But I don't think he internally wants a war with Iran. And ultimately, our opinion is there should be no reason we shouldn't be in the Middle East in the first place. We don't believe any foreign country should dictate our foreign policies. And so I think that for the most part, he's trying to get, you know, our troops back. I don't follow these people who think that he's trying to get in war with Iran. I know there's people who will say he is, but I don't personally believe he is.
Thank you, guys. This is a heated conversation, and we are going to pick it up. Coming right back. Thank you for the call, Clint. Welcome back come on back to Blood River Radio after these messages.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back, folks. I hope you got yourself a cup of coffee during the break. I got myself about four cups because we're gearing up for a debate here on Blood River Radio. Jason, I got a couple questions. We got to move quick because I want to talk about a couple more things.
Sure.
Your impressions of the Richmond rally.
is our biggest threat, like we were saying, the kind of the idea of the war with Iran, or is it local? Is our biggest threat the Richmond rally and gun confiscation?
Oh, yeah, I think our biggest threat is locally. That's how I perceive it, because our main concern should be here in the United States, should be locally. And whenever you have local politics regarding the Richmond rally, for example, where in Virginia, where they're obviously so anti the Second Amendment or cherish liberties, that is something that we definitely have to be concerned about.
Do you think the Second Amendment rally did anything to influence their government?
I do not.
Explain.
As far as assemblymen there, those in control, the Democrats that have such a hatred towards the Second Amendment and want to disarm the Virginians, I do not believe that the rally helped stir the lawmakers of Virginia as far as that's in control. But I will say I think it helped nationally, and even the people in Virginia, the average people out there, to realize and put a spotlight that there is this hatred and an attack upon our Second Amendment.
That's interesting, because, you know, the thing about what happened in Virginia is they put out this kind of straw man for the white nationalists. They said, oh, no white nationalists better attend this. We've already arrested a couple people. And then we had all these, I don't want to call them malevolent people, but people posting YouTube videos or commentary or whatever saying, hey, this is another Charlottesville 2.0 trap. And then it turned into a big nothing burger. And I'm going to ask you, was that a CIA operation to create this straw man that they burned the nothing burger and made it to where it just ended up being just a normie American civic nationalist Second Amendment rally that went nowhere, fell flat on its face? And I submit to you this and follow up to that question. Right after the rally, in less than a week, they signed about four of the bills. I think they signed handguns can only be bought once a month. One time a month you can buy a handgun. The red flag laws they signed, no private selling between people, and limited magazines, I believe, was the other one. And I may be entirely a little bit wrong on those four, because, you know, it's really hard to find good, correct information out there. But I think that's the four they signed. So my question, was that a big straw man CIA op for that?
I don't go into that in depth as far as conspiracy like CIA. I think in generally it's just you have these socialists, communists, whatever, Marxists, whatever you want to name, call them. That's basically what the Democrat Party is now. They have such a hatred towards anybody that is pro-Second Amendment. And so they use a scare tactic saying that anyone that comes there is just going to be just like Charlottesville, that there's going to be arrest, there's going to be a riot. And, yes, they were trying to make it out as if that there was just going to be all these people coming out in order to cause harm and disarray at the Capitol. And, unfortunately, that made a lot of people say, yeah, we better not get there and go there because it possibly could happen. And I think that scared a lot of people. But I don't think it was just literally a CIA operative or anything like that. I think it's just a general hatred by those that governing Virginia that do not want anyone to be proactive towards the Second Amendment. To me, that's how I look at it anyway.
I think it was a psychological operation, and they are trying their best to keep white nationalists away from influencing Second Amendment people. The Second Amendment people are a large body of pro-American, pro-guns people. And the last thing they want is that demographic taking up real arms, so to speak, and actually being a real threat to the government.
Absolutely. And those people, literally the white people, I won't be specific even more, the white people there, the average person going there to that rally, for the Second Amendment rally, those are the people that will be more galvanized to our issues, those issues towards white nationalists. I truly believe that, because once we see more of these basically people that's going to cause the Second Amendment, hatred towards the Second Amendment, the average person out there, they're going to start understanding that there really is a hatred towards the Constitution. There's a hatred against the Second Amendment. And everything that these as white nationalists are saying all along, they're going to start looking and listening to us and saying, you are right. They are trying to attack our Second Amendment. They're also trying to attack and genocide our people. They're trying to genocide our Christian faith. So those are, again, talking points that I think we can use towards us. But you're absolutely right. They do not want any person that would resemble a white nationalist attend that rally specifically.
So I speak to all my white nationalist brothers. There's a demographic we need to target and really try to educate and get them to understand the realities of what's facing, what our people are facing. And one way that can be done, and I'm going to go back to your faith, family, and friends conference coming up, is actually starting to invite people to these types of events and mingling with them. And I just want to give you a few more minutes to talk about that. What day and time is that coming up in April?
Yeah, it's April 24th, 25th, and 26th. It's the last weekend in April. And again, that is the Faith and Freedom Conference. It's held at the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp. It's located on 100 acres. It's about 30 miles south of Branson, Missouri. Most people know where Branson, Missouri is at. We are 30 miles south of that in the Ozark Mountains. We have a conference center there. We have men and women cabins. So if someone is stay at one of those cabins, they can notify us, and if there's room available, they can stay there. We have, of course, that's also where the Knights Party headquarters is located at. And we have family entertainment. We have activities for the children. We have a lot of great speakers. And I want to say that this year, our special guest speakers is Dr. Michael Hill with the League of the South. We also have Earl Holt, the director of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and then we also have our very own Eddie Miller, Blood River.
Hey!
Yes. So we have a lot of great speakers, a lot of influential speakers that will be there that will give a lot of wealth of information. And we always tell people that at these conferences, you may not agree 100% with everybody, but the thing is, we all have a common goal. Our common goal is to stop white genocide. That is our common goal. And we want families to come there to have that renewed spirit that there are other people out there that have the love and concern about the destruction of our people. And so when they leave these conferences, we want them to be able to go back to their local communities and kind of re-energize them, keep on going out, spread this message to our people, sound alarm to our people. And so the conference is always designed around the family. We do not allow alcohol. We allow basically your basic Christian moral people that can attend. And so if a person says, well, I'm not a Christian, well, you can still attend as long as you're a good moral character, you know, and bring your families. It's a beautiful place.
You know, you have a great lineup of speakers, and Blood River Radio, as you said, is going to be there in attendance. And people, you don't have to, he said it, he nailed it, you don't have to agree with everything. But when did we get to the point in America where you don't listen to somebody or don't hear what they have to say or don't even consider what they're saying? You know, that is exactly the place right before your destruction.
Right.
When you get to that point where you can't associate with somebody, when you can't talk to them, you can't listen to them, you don't have to agree with them. But it's when you get to that point, that's when the whole society fractures, breaks up, and that's when your destruction comes. It's easier to pick off individuals than it is groupthink mentality, isn't it, Jason?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. We always tell people when they come to our conferences, It's kind of like a smorgasbord, a buffet. You come there, there might be things that you agree with, you might disagree with, but no, we're all people, we're all the same racial kindred people, and that's the most important thing at the end of the day, is that we all have that same in goal and same in blood, to help waken our people. So that's what we always want people to focus on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for coming on the show. That's Jason Robb, y'all, friend of the show and good compatriots in our movement. Thank y'all for tuning in to Blood River. We'll be right back next hour. Stay tuned.
Thank you.